There's a very interesting maral in Netzach Yisrael that has to do with the beginning of this week's Sedra that I'd like to enlarge upon. The maral questions why we're not introduced to Avraham Avinu like we were to Noah. I should have said Avraham, Ish Tzadik. And more than that, there are a lot of things that Avraham Avinu did before Lech Lecha. He was 75 years old at Lech Lecha. He already was thrown into the fiery furnace. He recognized God. When he was 40, he came to a greater recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he was 3, he recognized that there's a God on a basic level. Many things that Avraham Avinu did before God appeared to him with Lech Lecha. So why doesn't the Torah speak about it, even hint to it? Says the Maral, because then it would have given the impression that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham was because of the deeds that he did or because of the tzaddik that he was or whatever. When in fact, the choice, the chosenness of Avraham Avinu is not something that's dependent on any condition. It is unconditional and totally beyond rationale. And that basically is the reason that God chose the Jewish people. He chose the Jewish people even before the world was created. And it's not conditional on us being tzaddikim or not tzaddikim, even though we'll see there is a level of that. But the fact that God chose us is something to do with the very nature of the creation of the world. And just like God made human beings who can speak and animals that can't speak, he created a nation that he chose. And we'll see in one second what we're chosen for. And that's the special nation called Yisrael, and it has nothing to do with deeds, it has nothing to do with tzidkus, it's something beyond rationale, unconditional. And therefore, the Torah starts with Avraham, just Lech Lecha, that God chose him, spoke to him, told him to go to Eretz Yisrael, and it is a fact, not dependent on any conditions. And the Torah almost says that in Perek Zayin in Devarim, Pasuk Vav Teches, the Torah says the following. You are a holy nation to God. God chose you to be his treasured nation. We'll see what really Am Segula means in a little while. But to be his treasured nation. From all the other nations, Asher al pnei ha'adama, who exist on the face of the earth. Not because you are the greater in numbers of the nations of the world, or even in quality, because you are a smaller number from all the nations of the world. You're small. Ki me'avas Hashem eschem, because God loves you. Umishamru es hashvu, and because he kept the oath that he made for your forefathers, and an oath is something also that's unconditional. That's why he took you out of Egypt. It has nothing to do with your merits. It has to do with the fact that God has this love for you, which is a love that does not depend on anything. He chose you, and that's it. It's something that's beyond our rationale, something that's in God's mind and God's will. And that is obvious a little bit from the fact that the whole world was created, it says, for the sake of the Torah and the sake of the Jewish people. Bereishis bar Elokim, Bishvil Yisrael shenikraim Reishis. We are called Reishis, the beginning, and the Torah is called the beginning. And the world was created Bereishis for the sake of Reishis, for the sake of the Jewish people and for the sake of the Torah. Now, it couldn't have been created for the sake of the Jewish people because of what we did and what we were or whatever, because we didn't exist. God created the world that there should be a nation called Yisrael, and in the beginning we'll see Adam HaRishon was that Yisrael. meaning that God wanted a creation that could have a direct relationship with him. That nation, that creation was called Israel. Originally, Adam Arishon had that. The Jewish people as a nation took the place of Adam Arishon. We are the nation that God intended to create that would have a direct relationship with him. An essential relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, an intrinsic relationship. And that's why we're called Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. We are called God's children. Just like a child is an extension of the parent, so too we are an extension, kibiyochel, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the other nations, the Maral says, are not directly connected to God, essentially, but they are more separated, extra, peripheral, and they are there to aid the nation that is God's children to achieve what they have to achieve, and if they do that, then they also get rewarded. But they're not children, they're associates. And therefore he says that a father brings his son closer. On the other hand, an associate has to bring himself closer. Not nations of the world can bring themselves closer to God, but they have to do it on their initiative. Now, Sheinkein, the Ribbono Shel Olam brings the Jewish people closer, and it's unconditional. He brings us closer instead of us having to bring ourselves closer to him. And that's why it says, Ki chelek Hashem amo. All the other nations are under the supervision of angels. There's an archangel for every nation. Except we are under the direct jurisdiction of God. Ki chelek Hashem amo. We are God's portion. God chose us to have that close, intrinsic, essential relationship with him. And like we said, originally, Adam HaRishon was that creation that had that tremendous connection to God. When he sinned, he lost that. And Ramchal says that God gave a time for people to fill the shoes of Adam HaRishon. And Avraham Avinu filled the shoes, and he became that. He therefore received that neshama that God created, that's the neshama of Yisrael, was given to Avraham Avinu and all of his children. But the choice of having that neshama that eventually became the neshama of Avraham Avinu was not dependent on Avraham Avinu's sitkus or whatever. It was a choice that God made beyond any specific human being or their specific actions. There had to be a nation called Yisrael. Who that Yisrael would be is a different story. But that would be a nation Yisrael. That choosing on that level is something beyond rationale. That's why it says, hold all the questions till the end. That's why it says, Vo'avdil eschem min ho'amim li'os li. I separated you from the nations of the world to be mine. Right? We are God's temple. The place where God's presence devolves in this world. That's the purpose of the Jewish people. And therefore we have that tremendous connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which the other nations don't have. Right? And that is why God separated us. That's why we're different than the rest of the nations of the world. Because we represent God. We are his people. We are his children. We're his extension in this world. We're the place. We are the ones where God resides amongst us. Not in the Beis HaMikdash, v'shochanti b'socham, he resides in the heart of every Jew. The Beis HaMikdash is only the catalyst to bring God's presence amongst every Jew. And that's why it says we really have no choice in fulfilling that purpose. God created us, chose us for that purpose, and we have to fulfill that purpose by hook or by crook. That's what it says, Am levodad yishko, a nation that dwells apart. Because since we have a different purpose, we are essentially different than the nations of the world. We have a direct relationship with God, whereas they are under the influence of angels. So God separated us. We have a different tafkid. We have a different mission in this world. And therefore, if we live amongst the nations of the world without any kind of buffer, we will be influenced by them, and we will all reach the lowest common denominator, and we won't be able to fulfill our mission. So therefore God said, I separated you from the nations of the world to be mine. Right? And you're an Am Levadot Yishkon. You're a nation that dwells apart. And really, we only have one of two choices. Either we choose to dwell apart and to fulfill our mission, and then we read the pasuk by Yishkon Yisrael Betach Badad, the Jewish people will dwell apart in security, and we read that pasuk in Vizos HaBracha and Simchas Torah with great simcha. If we choose not to fulfill our mission, then God's going to force us to fulfill our mission, and we're still going to be Badad. We're still going to be separate, but we're going to read it in a different pasuk, Eicha Yoshva Badad, and that we read on Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor in great mourning. So we really have no choice. We're going to be separate from the nations of the world, whether we like it or not, because we were created to be separate. We were created to be a different entity, to fulfill that creation which has that direct relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we fulfill it willingly, then it'll be a very, very happy thing. If we choose not to, then God will bring tzaras upon us to force us in the end to come back and to fulfill that purpose. In the end, we're going to fulfill that purpose whether we like it or not. And that's why it says that in the end, the ge'ula will come, which is the fulfillment of that purpose, whether we do tshuva or not. But if we don't do tshuva, God will force us to do tshuva. He'll bring a king as mean as Haman that will force the Jewish people to do tshuva because of the tzaras that they'll have and the fear that they'll have. They'll do tshuva because of the fear. So God is going to orchestrate that things are going to happen. That's why it says that the Jewish people are compared to oil and the nations of the world to water. It's impossible to mix water and oil together. It's not just that we have to be apart. God made us to be apart. We're a different breed. And therefore, like oil and water, you can't mix them together. And the oil represents also fire and water. And if you try to mix them together, either the fire is going to evaporate the water, boil it away, or the water is going to put out the fire. They can't exist together, but they can exist if there's a buffer between them. Because if the oil floats on top of the water with surface tension separating it, then the oil protects the water and the water supports the oil. Same thing with fire and water. If you have a pot separating them, the fire will boil the water and make cooking. They can work together very nicely. But if you take away the pot and you try to amalgamate the water and the fire, either the fire is going to go out or the water is going to be boiled away. And therefore, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that we really only have one choice. Either we make Kiddush or the Goyim make Havdalah. Either we separate ourselves by making ourselves holy and fulfill our mission of being a separate entity, different mission in this world than the nations of the world, or the Goyim will separate us. We don't have a choice. It's going to happen one way or the other. Now, that's what it says in before we got the Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam said three things of what the nature of the Jewish people is, what our mission is. First, the Yisem li skula mikol ha'amim, ki li kol ha'aretz. You will be a skula. So skula, we say, is a treasure. But skula really means something that does not have a reason. It's valuable, but valuable beyond reason. It's something that's a treasure, and it's not... A skula is something that doesn't make sense. You can't explain it. It works. It's something valuable, but it's not necessarily explainable. That's a skula. So, therefore, we are a skula. The first level of what's special about the Jewish people is that God chose us even before we were created. Chose us, our neshamas, there had to be a klal Yisrael, something called Yisrael, right, that would be a direct emanation from God and would bring the world to a recognition of God or whatever and fulfill that mission that we have. So the first level is skula mikol ha'amim. We are something beyond rationale, chosen because God owns the whole world, and therefore he has the right to choose us and give us a mission. So that is the first level, right? And that's what the Sefer HaIkarim says, that skula means a choice without rationale, beyond our understanding. And the second thing is, v'atem tiyulim amleches kohanim. You will be a a kingdom of priests. Now that means the following. Once God chose us, and he gave us the potential to be that close relationship to him, like his children, emanate from him, be his representatives in the world, then he made us a kingdom of priests, meaning that we have the ability now to serve him. He gave us the wherewithal to bring out that potential. Okay, I made you to be my servants, to be my children, to be my an emanation, an extension of me. Okay, now I'm going to give you the wherewithal to function like that. So I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests, and I'm going to give you the kalim, the necessary tools, to be able to fulfill that which I chose you and created you to be. And those tools are giving us the Torah, mitzvahs, he gave us Eretz Yisrael. All those things are the tools to be able to bring out that potential. But the potential was given to us not because we deserved it, earned it, or whatever, because that was God's will. And now God said, I want you to bring out that potential. I'm going to give you the wherewithal to bring out that potential. I'm going to give you a Torah. I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael to separate you from the nations of the world. I'm going to give you a Torah to bring out your Kedusha. Okay? And after that, a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation. And that means that you are going to be holy by using those tools, by choosing to use those tools. You are going to be, what's it called, you're going to bring holiness to the world. You're going to fulfill your mission. You're going to taka serve me and bring holiness to the world. So there's three levels. The first level has nothing to do with us. God chose us and gave us a mission. We are his emanation, his representatives. Second level is God gave us the wherewithal to fulfill that mission. He gave us a Torah, he gave us Eretz Israel, and so on. And the third thing depends on us. We have to now use those tools to fulfill our mission in this world. Now, if we choose not to do that, then God is going to see to it that we're going to be forced to fulfill that mission. But then, instead of having it happen in a positive way, it's happen in a negative way. We'll go into Golas and we'll have Tsaras, and the nations of the world will see how we're punished because we didn't do what we're supposed to do, and they'll learn from us in that way. So God is going to create a process that originally didn't depend on us. What we are and what our potential is was given to us. Not because we earned it, deserved it, or whatever, because that was God's will. Now God said, I want you to bring out that potential. I gave you potential, I want you to bring it out. I'm going to give you all the tools you need to do that, Torah, Eretz Israel, and so on. Then, I'm going to expect you to fulfill your mission. If you don't, then I will punish you in a way that eventually you're going to fulfill that mission, whether you like it or not. And it'll be fulfilled either in a positive way or through negative things. That's the whole union of gullus and punishments and whatever. It's not to destroy you. It's to bring about that fulfillment of the mission in a way that's going to adapt itself to how you function. You function this way, then you'll fulfill the mission this way. If you function a different way, it's going to have to happen in a bitter way that you're going to end up fulfilling the mission no matter what. But you have the choice how you want to fulfill it, in a positive way, in a bitter, negative way. And that's, the Vilna Gaon says that we receive the Torah three times. And really, the way we're explaining it, it means three dimensions, three aspects. The first was when God said, "V'yisem li skula mikol ha'amim," right? That you will be a skula. Second is when we receive the Torah on Har Sinai. And the third, when God made a bris with us. If you think about it, those three things are the three things we describe. The first is something that's beyond our control. God made us a skula. He made us this. He chose us without rhyme or reason that we understand. He understands, there is rhyme and reason, but God understands it. Why he chose us, that's something beyond our, nothing to do with our actions or whatever. That's represented by Lech Lecha, by Avram. God chose him, go. I'm giving you now Eretz Israel because it will fit the potential that you have. I gave you that potential. There's no rhyme and reason that you can understand why I gave you that potential, nobody else. And that's the skula. Then God said, okay, now that I gave you that potential, I want you to access it. I'm going to give you the means, the tools to access it. That's Torah. That's Eretz Yisrael. That was Matan Torah. That's when God gave us the Torah. It says that God offered the Torah to all the nations of the world. According to what I'm saying, the Torah was only meant for us because the Torah brings out the potential that only we have. So how could God offer it to the other nations of the world, right? And they rejected it. What if they would have accepted it? Then they would have been the chosen people. No. I think one way of understanding God offering the Torah to the nations of the world is the same idea. It says before God created woman, he took Adam Arishon to the zoo, and he had, the way that the many understand it, mentally had relations with every animal. In other words, he thought about how he could make this animal his mate. And he saw it doesn't work. There was no animal that could possibly be a mate for a human being. And then when woman was created, Adam realized that there is no other option. This is the only option. But in order to understand that, he had to, by process of elimination, eliminate everything else. Maybe the same thing. God wanted the world to know that there's no other nation that intrinsically is fit for the Torah. It's only the Jewish people who were chosen to have that neshama, that is an emanation from God, they can have the Torah. Proof? I'm going to offer it to the other nations of the world. And you see, they're not going to accept it. Why? Because it goes against the grain. What did the Esav say? We can't accept the Torah. It says you can't murder because we have a bracha to live by the sword. It means it goes against our grain. It's not meant for us. We can't have it. The same thing goes with Yishmael. We have a bracha, yadav akol, our hands in everybody's pocket. How can we have a Torah that's against you? It's against our essence. So the Torah wasn't meant for you. That's what it came. Not that God had a havamin of giving the Torah to them, but he wanted to show the Jewish people that it wasn't possible for any other nation to accept the Torah. It went against their grain. It's only the Jewish people who have that tremendous potential, who were given that tremendous potential, beyond rhyme or reason, can get the Torah. It goes hand in hand. Okay, that was, I think, the idea. And that's why it says that God forced us to accept the Torah. How can he force us? He forced us because that's us. That's our essence. You can't force somebody to do something that they have a choice one way or the other, because then they're not choosing. But if they have no choice anyway, then you can force them. This is my essence. So God forced us to recognize that essence. And that's why normally when a person converts, he becomes like a newborn person. And he has no more relatives. His relatives are not his relatives. He's like a newborn person. When we converted at Har Sinai and accepted the Torah, right, there we continued having our relatives and we had to separate from them after the Torah was given. Relatives that we married before the Torah was given that were prohibited, you had to separate. So they asked, why did they have to separate? They were all converts. And a convert doesn't have relatives. So the Maharal says that's only when you convert willingly. Then you become like a new person. But when the conversion is forced, then it doesn't make you like a new person. But the idea being, when the conversion is forced, that means that all it is revealing your essence. It's not making you something new. It's revealing what you were from the beginning. So you don't change. You're just bringing out what your essence was. But a goy who converts becomes a new person. He's doing it willingly, right? He has a choice. He wasn't this essence before. He became this essence now by converting. So he's a different person. But the Jewish people were always that essence. The Torah was given to them in order to fit that essence. And therefore it could be given against their will. It could force them to do it. Because once you're bringing out the essence of something, it's not dependent anymore on wanting or not wanting. It's a matter of recognizing the fact that this is my essence. That can be done even against your will. But if it's only recognizing what your essence is, then you're not a new person. Then you're just basically bringing out the essence that was always there. And after that, so that's what to call, that was the first thing, that God said, the Yisam Segula. Then he gave us Torah and Mitzvahs at Har Sinai to help us bring out the tools to bring out that essence. And then he made a bris with us that how we actually function in using those tools is going to determine how God functions with us. Because inevitably we're going to have to fulfill our mission. If we fulfill it willingly, positively, we'll do it from Eretz Yisrael, with a Beis HaMikdash or whatever. If we choose to turn our back on our mission, and we break that covenant with God, then the covenant will be that God will treat us in a way that eventually will bring us back. Sometimes that means throwing us out of Eretz Yisrael, destroying the Beis HaMikdash, bringing terrible punishments upon us, but it's all for the sake of, in the end, us coming back and fulfilling the mission. But if God wouldn't do all of that, we'd just be lost. So those are the three stages. The actual giving of the mission itself and the creation of the neshama of the Jewish people is something that was beyond reason, that we didn't earn, that was given to us, whether we liked it or not. We were created to be that. Then we were given the tools through Torah to be able to accomplish that. And then we were given a bris that if we choose to use those tools properly, then this will be the relationship. And if we choose not to use those tools properly, then there'll be a different relationship. But the ultimate goal is that our mission should be accomplished. And that's why, this chosenness manifests itself in two places. One, in Torah, the fact that we were given the Torah, and that we use the Torah to serve God and to bring God's will into the world, and through the Shalosh Golim, the fact that we have three holidays that show God's intimate connection to the Jewish people in three ways. Pesach, He chose us. That's the choice. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. It wasn't because we deserved it. God took us out of Egypt because we're His children. B'ni B'chori, they are my firstborn child. Now I'm taking them out of Egypt, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, whether they deserve it or not. That's Pesach. That's the first level. The choice beyond reason. Then Shavuos, He gave us the Torah. He gave us the wherewithal to fulfill that purpose that we were created for. And then Sukkos, God went into a bris with us that either we're going to have Anoni HaKavod, we're going to have clouds of glory around us, or we're going to be in Golus in a regular Sukkah, right? We have the choice. We're going to either fulfill our mission by hook or by crook, by doing it in a positive way, or God's going to bring circumstances where in the end we're going to do it anyway, but it's going to happen in a negative way, through negative things. And that's why we mention our chosenness in two places, one in the brach on the Torah, and the other in the Shemone Esrei of Shalosh Regalim. Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amin, You chose us from all the nations of the world. Had nothing to do with us. You made the choice, God. Atzav the Chartan. You made the choice. You're doing. How did you choose us from the nation of Roman? Tom, let me call out the Shonos. You exalted us more than any of the languages. Language is an expression of the essence of the person. Every nation speaks a different language, represents their essence. Our essence is Kedusha, is holiness. So we have a holy tongue. It's the same language that God speaks, the same language that God created the world with. So our language is the godly language, is God's language, God's tongue. That's why the angels only understand God's language. They don't understand other languages. They understand Hebrew. And we, our language represents our essence. So how did God choose us? He chose us by making Him an emanation of Him. And therefore we speak the same language. And then, now He loves us. And He gave us the wherewithal to bring out that potential, to be like Him. He gave us a Torah with mitzvahs, that we can sanctify ourselves and be like Him, and that's the love. We have the ability now to create that bond with Him by bringing out that potential. That was giving us a Torah, right? Havta osanu, You loved us. How? Bikidash Torah Sasecha. You made us holy through Your mitzvahs. And lastly, You made a bond with us based on what we do of how we're going to fulfill that mission. Right? V'ratzi sabanu, Your ratzon, Your will in the world comes through us. You make Your will dependent on what we do. And therefore, if we do it right, Your will comes in a very positive way, and if not, it comes in a negative way into the world. We determine what God's will is in the world. How is that? Keraftanu malkeinu l'avodasecha. You brought us close to Your service. We serve You. We serve Your purpose in this world by what we do brings God's will into the world. And the ultimate purpose is the Shimcha HaGadol v'HaKadosh Aleinu Karasa. We're supposed to be a mamleches kohanim, that's gadol, that's greatness, and kodesh, and I'm a goy kodesh. So you call your great and holy name on us. We are your representatives, we are your emanation, we are an extension of you. That's what we are. And we can use the tools you gave us to bring it out and to bring your presence in the world in a positive way or a negative way. Those are the three levels. Part of it depends on what we do. Part of it has nothing to do with what we do, but what we are, because God made us the way we are. Then there is what's it called in the Birchas HaTorah. Okay? And it could be the three of us represent that. Avraham Avinu represents God choosing, even before, like the Maharal says, even before he did anything. It had nothing to do with him being a tzaddik. God chose him from before he was created. Behi Baram, God created the world with Avraham. It didn't exist yet. But he created that neshama of Avraham that would one day bring a nation that emanated from him, that had that close connection to him. Okay? And that's why Avraham Avinu represents chesed. Chesed is total kindness without any thought, without any rhyme or reason. Just total kindness. That was a kindness of God that he created us the way he did. That's Avraham. Then there's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Gevura. Now we have to use the tools that God gave us, right, to be like God. So we have to, what's it called? Yitzchak had Eretz Yisrael. He didn't leave Eretz Yisrael. And he kept himself within the boundaries where he was godly. So he took the potential and brought it out by using Eretz Yisrael, by using mitzvahs and averas and not doing averas, gvura. That's Yitzchak. And then there's Yaakov. Yaakov was the avoda, the service of God. Yaakov was the first one to go into Golus. And Yaakov Avinu brought the Jewish people into the scene. He was the one now who acted in a way that brought God's will into the world, and he was the initiator, the motivator of that will. Then we become dynamic. First, it's totally God. Then God gives us the tools where it's a partnership, and finally, we're the initiators. That's the way it works. And that's why it says, I might think that the end, the chasima, the main thing, is Yitzchak, Yaakov, Avram, the chosenness, the tools, what do we end the bracha with? We say Avokei Avraham, Avokei Yitzchak, but Mogein Avraham. Mogein Avraham means God protects that which Avraham has. It's not that we have to enhance it or whatever, it just has to be protected. It's there. It's there whether we like it or not. It just needs to be shielded and protected. Mogein Avraham. Hashem came, what Yitzchak does and Yaakov does is all extra, is all more than just being protected. But what Avraham has is just being protected, because God gave us that potential, and now we just have to protect it and make sure we don't lose it. That's the idea of Mogen Avraham. And that's why Avraham Avinu had to go through 10 trials, not so much to create the potential. The potential was there. Either to show the world what potential he had. In fact, the Meshech Chachma says, El Ha'aretz Asher Areka, you'll go to the land where I'll be able to show you to the world. Show the world what potential you have. Appreciate what Israel is different than them. Or it says that Avraham Avinu was like a perfume bottle. If you leave it in its place, it doesn't. You have to take it around, move it around. So the Jewish people had to be moved around it. People should appreciate it. Or it says, Lech Lecha, go to your essence. The Eretz Israel will help him bring out that essence. The essence was there. The 10 trials didn't make Avraham fit to be chosen. He was chosen already. It just was in order to show people what God chose, or to help him access what his essence was. One of those two things. That's why it says that one Medrash compares it. If you have a coal that's basically hot, if you wave it around, move it around, it bursts into flame. So Avraham Avinu had to be moved around. Lech Lecha. And that's why I think in the Birchas HaTorah we mention these three things too. We say the bracha before Torah. I mean the bracha that we say before we read the Torah, before we learn the Torah, is the second bracha. Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim. You chose us. That's the first level. That has nothing to do with us. It's totally in God's will and mind He chose us. The Nasan Lanu Es Torah So. Then He gave us the Torah, the wherewithal to bring out that essence that He gave us. And then we make the final, Baruch Atah Hashem, no Sein HaTorah. It's an ongoing thing. Not that He gave us the Torah once. Now it's a no Sein. Now God continually deals with us based on how we act. We can bring God's will into the world in a positive way or in a negative way, but ultimately it's to make us fulfill our mission. So there's Bochar Banu, that's beyond our, beyond us. Then there's Nosan Lanu, He gave us the wherewithal to bring out that essence that He gave us. And No Sein HaTorah, He has an ongoing relationship with us, how to see to it that we fulfill that mission, right? And that's up to us. If we choose to do it properly, we get it very good circumstances. If we choose not to do it properly, we get very bad circumstances. But in the end, the mission is going to be completed. And that's why in the morning, we also mention again God's choosing us right before Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem, we are special. God is our God, right? He's one God and He's our God. He's Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. What do we say before that? HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Bi'ahava. God chose us and then He gave us the ability to access that chosenness and to make ourselves like Him, which is Ahava. Ahava is a love, is an affinity. When two things are similar, then there's a bond. Ava and Gematria is Echad, one. It's unity. So God chose us, be Ava, and now, Shema Yisrael, do your part. Fulfill your mission. You'll have to say, Shema Lekecha, V'hoyim Shema Tishmu, and if you listen, you'll get rewarded. If not, you'll get punished, because ultimately the mission is going to happen one way or the other. That's the Shema. The fulfillment of the mission itself. And we proceeded with, in the morning, HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael, be Ava. But at night, we don't say that. At night, we just say, Oy Vamo Yisrael. We don't say we're chosen. Why? Because the daytime represents when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So we can understand a little bit why God chose us. Because we look at the result. Obviously, we deserve to be chosen. Look at us. That's daytime. That's when there's Geula, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But at night is Galus, when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Then we can't really see why in the world would God choose us. We don't look like we're fit for it. So we can't say the chosenness, we just leave that in the background because it's beyond us. But we say that with that, whatever, God doesn't ever abandon us. And He's Ohev Amo Yisrael. Ahavas Olam. It's a eternal love. Right? We can see that God doesn't abandon us. Why He chose us, we don't say, because we don't see that maybe we're fit for the choosing. But we do see God's love for us. So at night, in Nusach Ashkenaz, we say Ahavas Olam. It's an eternal love. And Ohev Amo Yisrael, that much we can see. And then the Shema, so let's get back onto track. But in the daytime, when we can see clearly that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? It's the daytime of the world, the light part, not the darkness part. Then we can say, HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Bi'ava. God chose us. And it makes pretty much sense now, looking back, that God should choose us. And He has this tremendous love. And it's Ava Rabba. We don't have to say that it's an eternal love. It's a love that constantly increased. Ava Rabba, constantly increased love based on the fact that God chose us. And then we get to the Shema again. So that's why in the morning we mention God choosing us. At night we don't mention that. We just mention the tremendous love that the Rav Amishlov has. So that is, to a certain degree, I think, a little bit of a enlargement and expounding a little bit on this Maharal.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What about you mentioned the big thing that you said not that in Shema,
Right.
And we thought, you know, we're a big deal because we said that. And we accepted it.
Right. It was anyway got to be. No, so in fact, the Maharal himself says, if we said Nasa Venishma, why did God have to force us? There's all different answers to that.
Yes.
Right? One answer the Maharal says is, God didn't want us to think that we had a choice, that we could have rejected it. The truth is that your essence is you had to accept it. You're very nice that you accepted it, but don't think that you could have rejected it. You accepted it, but I'm telling you, you couldn't have rejected it anyway. Because if you would have rejected it, you couldn't exist. That's not your essence.
Yeah, that's the reason why the forces died in Egypt, because they didn't accept it, and therefore they couldn't exist.
Or they didn't feel themselves part of that nation. They weren't part of that chosen nation because they considered themselves Egyptians. They didn't want to go out. They felt they wanted to stay in Egypt, and therefore they did stay.
Rejected.
Right. But they weren't given the Torah yet. They rejected their connection to the Jewish people. That's what they rejected.